We're kind of like your favorite pair of old sneaks. Incredibly comfortable, but smelly as hell. Ugh. This is Scheman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
I'm Craig Scheman, along with Pete Shepherd. Rick Church on the other side of the glass. Scheman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Thank you for tuning in today on a Tuesday. Chris will be back tomorrow. Lots to get to. We're going to have some fun this hour. Going to go back in time, if you will. I'll explain in just a moment. We've got Wikipedia around the corner. Lots of news to get to. And, in fact, let's do... Oh, the Scheman Shepherd cash grab is now active until 4:15. The word is clean, C-L-E-A-N. Text it into 45911. And in the next 15 minutes, you could be a $500 winner, brought to you by Andajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. All right, at almost 7 minutes past the hour, it is time for a SportsCenter rundown. Ladies and gentlemen, here's me.
SportsCenter update brought to you by Best Home Services. Service appointments available now.
GetBest.com.
You are going to be seeing Tom Brady's face on national TV for at least another 10 or 11 years. Upon retirement as a player in the NFL, he will be the lead football analyst at Fox and some other things. He will be compensated for 10 years, $375 million. Yes, you heard right. Tonight in the association, no Kyle Lowry. The Heat play game 5 against the 76ers. That series tied at 2. Later on, it's the Suns and Dallas. That series is also tied at 2. All right. I found something you may be interested in. I know how much you like TV. I don't know what this is going to air on, but I found this story on Deadline.com. Ray Romano from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yep.
Is going to star and produce a movie about Jim Valvano. He's going to play Jim Valvano.
A little tall to play Jim, but I could see that.
Yeah. And the Valvano family is helping out as executive producers. Of course, we all know the story. When NC State won the title in 83, Valvano running around looking for somebody to hug. Romano will play him.
There was already a movie about Jim Valvano out that ESPN did many years ago. And I forget the name of it and who was starting it. Or some network did it. But it was okay.
Maybe this will be better.
See, this site. There's a site out there, NFL Schedule Leaks, and this is the one that had Green Bay at Tampa Bay in week one last week.
And what does it say?
It's got a whole bunch of stuff here.
Okay.
Let me go through some of them. We should write it down to think fake or is this real or not real?
Does it contradict something that we thought leaked earlier this
week? Yes.
Okay.
There is one that does. The rest of them, I've never heard of any of these yet.
All right.
So I'm just going in order here of what this site has. Week 11. Jaguars at Texans, 8:20 NFL Network. It's the only primetime game this year for both the Texans and the Jaguars.
Texans. That's the last game I want to see out of the entire season.
Week 11. Week 1, 1 o'clock on Fox. It has the Panthers at the Falcons. Week 15. I'm just going by how these
are horrible games.
Week 15, Jets at the Broncos, 4:05 on Fox.
Okay.
Week 16, Patriots at Steelers, 4:25 on CBS. Week 7, Ravens at the Jets, 1 o'clock CBS. Week 17, Ravens at Steelers, 4:25 CBS.
Yeah.
Week 10, Eagles at Commanders, 8:20 ESPN, Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
Now, their full Thanksgiving slate, this is where the contradiction comes in. They have the Commanders at the Lions. Now, I saw another report today that said it's going to be the Miami or Buffalo.
Okay.
This site has the Washington Commanders at the Lions, Bengals at the Cowboys, and Bills at the Ravens on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Which with the Bills Ravens being at 8:20 on NBC. Week 11, Jets at Browns, 1 o'clock CBS. Week 16, Raiders, Titans, 1 o'clock CBS. Saints at 49ers, week 7, 4:05. Giants at Commanders, week 1 on Fox, 1 o'clock. Broncos at Raiders, week 1 on Monday Night Football.
That should be interesting. Okay.
8:20. Week 8, Ravens at Buccaneers on Sunday Night Football. That's week 8, 8:20. Week 18, Chiefs at the Raiders. That's 4:25. Also week 18, Steelers at Bengals, 1 o'clock. Week 18, Browns at Ravens. Chiefs at Cardinals, week 10 at 425. I mean, a lot of these make sense. A lot of them do make sense.
The only thing I'm skeptical.
Week one, Bills at Rams, 8:15. I think we all know that's coming.
I think so.
Yep. And
we do know for a fact that Broncos, Rams, Christmas Day, the 4:30 game.
Week 15, Ravens at Patriots, 425. Week two, Ravens at Browns, 1 o'clock CBS. Week seven, Packers at Buccaneers on Thursday Night Football at 8:20.
Instead of week one, which was leaked earlier.
So, yep.
Okay.
Yep. So on. Okay. Monday Night Football doubleheader week two. We know Titans at Bills, Vikings at Eagles. We know that.
That's for sure.
And there you go.
Yeah. All right.
So the only one that I'm a little skeptical of is the Thanksgiving game one, because now we had Washington at Detroit, Buffalo at Detroit, or Miami at Detroit.
Well, that tells you everybody wants to play Detroit on Thanksgiving Day. That's like the, trying to get that's out of the it. Thing. Trying to get out of it. All right. So with that, and the actual full-blown schedule will be 8 p.m. Thursday night. And I'm sure we will go over it at length on our Friday show out at Duffy's after our Sheeman Shepherd golf outing on Friday. All right. So Joe Winter has posted to our webpage, what game would you go back in time to go visit in person? Any sport. Doesn't even have to be your favorite team. But the one I picked is not my favorite team. We got a couple already. The Good Doctor says the 1985 Super Bowl, Bears and Patriots. Single Red Sox girl says the 2004 Game 4 AL playoffs between the Red Sox and the Yankees. The Yankees were up 3-0.
Yeah, okay. I can understand Game 4 and the rest of it because it was such a – no. No, Patriots Bears. It has nothing to do with Patriots. It's 46-10.
Well, maybe they're a Bears fan.
I understand.
He's allowed to go back and see whatever game he wants.
If that's their lone Super Bowl, like I'm thinking more of an exciting.
It's not for you to decide.
Well, it isn't. It isn't. But if it was such a boring game after the first, Patriots blew a 3-0 lead.
It was a dull game.
Should have been 7-0 because Staley Morgan dropped a touchdown pass, which changed the whole dynamic of the game.
Yeah.
And Len Dawson got hurt.
New car smell, also Boston themed. The Carlton Fisk home run against the Big Red Machine.
Well, that in 75, that's one of mine, game six.
Before this turns into a Boston radio show, let's move on.
Well, there's so many great moments. Mine would be Miracle on Ice. If I could be in Lake Placid.
Good call.
I was on vacation in Florida on the East Coast back in the day.
Yeah.
Parents were mad at me because I wouldn't go out to dinner with them. And I stayed behind to watch because it was on tape delay. Night.
Kathleen says she'd go back and watch the Lou Gehrig farewell speech.
I like that.
Interesting take.
Somebody said earlier, David versus Goliath.
That's a battle.
Pittsburgh John, 1960 World Series Game 7, Bill Mazeroski. Yeah, that'd be a great one.
Yeah. The one I picked, absolutely, Stone Cold Lock. I could go in person.
Mm-hmm.
January 2, 1982. Chargers-Dolphins at the Orange Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
I would go back and see that game. Plus, I would be Craig on January 2nd, freezing in Indiana. A chance to go down to Miami where it's warm, watch a game that was a classic, Kellen Winslow game. And that one, I would go back and see that game. I think, in my opinion, from what I've seen as a fan, that was the greatest game I've ever seen. Fantastic.
Yep. Certainly right up there. How about I'd go maybe go watch the Immaculate Reception game live.
I saw somebody else text that early.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said Tiger Woods last Masters win. I'd like to go back and be there for that. Yeah.
Flutie's Hail Mary against Gerard Phelan in 1984 against Miami.
How about that?
That was just a great game anyway.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
Texas USC, greatest college football game, or the Florida State Virginia Tech. The USC Vince Young game against Texas, that was pretty good. That was a pretty good college football game. Maybe one of the best for the national championship in 2005.
Yeah. Phenomenal.
Jabba sent that in.
Yeah.
The arch nemesis of Rick Church.
That's a great one.
Terpcast guy, Wilt's 100-point game. You know, not many people, there's no evidence of it, except Wilt holding up for a photo the number 100. There's no film of it, nothing.
Nope. Since it's Bobby Orr's birthday, I'd like to go back because I was 3 when he did it on the goal against St. Louis, and they swept them, but that was a game-winning goal. Great pass from Derek Sanderson.
Chris's parents, grandparents, UPS guy, is from Detroit. Like to go back and see Reggie Jackson hit one off the lights at Old Tiger Stadium. That was the All-Star game in 72-ish?
Yeah. Reggie, yes.
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali beats Joe Frazier. Yes. Yeah, that's a great one.
Does Rocky versus Clubber Lang count, according to Bad Attitude Guy?
No. No.
Boot Camp, 2002, USA versus Mexico World Cup second round match in South Korea.
Okay.
All right. It's legal, so to go back to Jordan's last title game. Jesse Owens at the Olympics versus Germany. Mickey on a cell.
Oh, that'd be something.
Female ref, 75, Reds World Series game. Tony Perez, game 5, 2 home runs.
Nobody remembers that.
It's against the Red Sox.
I block it out.
Yeah.
Game 6, and then Morgan with the little blue pit to win game 7.
I saw Art, the Bills fan, said he'd go back to the Frank Reich comeback game. Yeah, it's a classic.
February 35, yes, great game. When the Hawks scored 2 goals on the Bruins in under 2 minutes in the Stanley Cup. Yes. It was one of my more devastating losses over the last decade. That was something.
Delivery Man says, I'll go back and watch the catch by Dwight Clark. Yeah, that was a cool moment. Mm-hmm. The one game I broadcast at the old Candlestick before the game, I made sure to go walk in that corner before the game on the field and just kind of soak it and relive it in my brain as well.
Gas pump guy, like to see the Hurricanes against Notre Dame, the Catholics versus Convicts stuff. Yeah, especially the 27-10 when there was a 3rd-and-33 completion to McGuire. It's fantastic. Mm-hmm.
I see Jabba the Butt is on the phone. Rick, was it cordial behind the scenes?
Oh, very much so. Yeah, he's a gentleman.
Even though he's your arch nemesis.
Correct.
It's like Batman being friends with the Joker.
Something like that.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phones. All right. Jabba has called in. We'll see what game he'd go back in time to go see again. Jabba, how are you? Welcome to the show.
What's going on, guys? And Rick, thanks for showing up on time.
Oh, this is always
like
my
four
pleasure.
In a row.
Always my pleasure.
So the USC Texas game,
yep,
best national championship of all time. The Florida State Virginia Tech game, best overall performance by a quarterback of all time in the NCAA.
Yeah.
Michael Vick almost won that game by himself against Florida State.
Yeah,
yep.
A lot of people will agree with you on the Vince Young Texas USC thing.
There's the Reggie Bush push. Maybe it would be different. I don't know. I was there when it occurred. Maybe the wind just blows a little bit. I don't know.
Oh, you were at that game?
Yes.
Wow. Where were your seats?
We were visitor end zone, like 40 rows up.
That was at Notre Dame, right?
Bad.
That was at Notre Dame, right?
No, that was at USC.
Was that at USC at the Coliseum? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, love the show, guys.
All right. Thanks, Jabba. Appreciate it. Appreciate being cordial to my man, Rick Church.
I would like to go to any Michigan-Ohio State game. And I'd pick a classic, and that's the one I want to go to.
I'd pick one where Michigan won.
I would do that, too. I would want to be in the stadium. I'd also like to do the opposite and go to the Horseshoe where Ohio State won.
Now, like you, Craig, when you popped this question up, there's one that hit me immediately, and I didn't have to think about it.
No.
And I'm surprised no one said it. Fettered by the fact that it involved one of my favorite teams, I think many people, hard argue it's one of the greatest games in the history of sports.
Oh, the Twins.
And that is Game 7 yes. of the 1991 World Series.
Jack Morris.
Between the Twins and the Braves and Jack Morris against John Smoltz. 1-0 in 10 innings.
Absolutely.
A series that all 6 games were one-run games.
Yeah.
And then game seven,
decibel levels. Remember how incredible
it was? Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. Now, the only reason I hesitate to say that is because being there, I may have missed to me what was some of the greatest drama I've ever experienced watching sports on TV, and that was Jack Morris arguing with Minnesota Twins manager Tom Kelly about going back out to pitch the 10th.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, the game was 0-0, and Kelly apparently, it was revealed later, wanted to pull Jack Morris out of the game. And Morris went nuts in the dugout. And now, I don't know if I would have been able to catch that live on TV. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, he came in and set the Braves down 1-2-3, and the Twins scored one in the bottom of the 10th. And so that's that would have been mine.
That was a classic.
That's a great one. That is absolutely a great one.
Estero Charles says he was also in that same end zone at the Coliseum for the Bush push game.
that Jabba was at. Oh, you guys probably were sitting next to each other. How about that?
Flyers, Francis, Miracle on Ice. Yeah, that's at the top of my list.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the top of everything for me to be live at that game.
That would be cool. Rock'em Sock'em Robots, the Flutie game.
Yep.
It's the Hurricanes. Somebody else mentioned. Yeah,
I mentioned that.
Been something.
Gerard Phelan. They were roommates back then at the time, too.
Hmm.
Gerard's an interesting fellow.
Green Falcon says, how about Don Larson's World Series perfect game?
Yep.
That would be cool.
That'd be good. Somebody mentioned Baz Ryan. How about Bobby Thompson's shot heard around the world?
I think any of those black and white games, to see them in person in color would be just mind-blowingly cool.
I picked the most exciting game Babe Ruth pitched in and hidden. You know, there's probably many, but only won the MVP, I think, twice. Once or twice, believe it or not. But
I've got two texts that said I was right. The Bush push was at Notre Dame. I'm going to have to look this up. Because I thought it was at Notre Dame, but we just had two people say they were there.
Dopey, I wrote this one down. Thank you for reminding me. Same. I'd like to visit the Stanford-Cal game in 82. The band is on the field. Yes, that was watching John Elway's face like just fall off in utter shock.
All right, we got a problem.
Yeah, this
the Bush push, I was right. The Bush push was at Notre Dame. And now we got two people that say they were there at the Coliseum.
Many say it was an illegal play.
Well, it was at the time.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But the rules have changed. So.
October 15th, 2005, South Bend, Indiana.
South Bend.
You people will say you're at the Coliseum. Explain yourself.
So we got Astero, Charles, and Jabba now say they were there, and they weren't even at the game we're talking about. They may have been at a Notre Dame-Southern Cal game, and their memories have faded over the years. That was not the actual Bush push game.
Just got a call from Alex. Didn't want to go on the air, but I thought this was absolutely perfect. He said, if I go back in time for any sporting event, I'd go back to last Saturday, the Kentucky Derby, and put $10,000 down on the horse that won.
Good call.
Good call.
Good Charlie call. White versus Pete Carroll. In fact, I'm punching up the call here. Give me a second.
All right. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what to think about Astero, Charles, and Jabba. They were wrong. How about that?
It happens, but you know you gotta be careful. We could check all this stuff out. Maybe there's another game. Got confused.
Astero Charles is clarifying that he was indeed at the game, and it was at Notre Dame. So, so Jabba has some Rick Church's arch nemesis has some explaining to do.
What did we do before we had the internet? Somebody would have had to run to the library to find out.
No, and Jabba now says, no, you asked if USC was at home. No, I did not. No. I said, that game was at Notre Dame, right? No, it was at the Coliseum at L.A. is what the answer was that I got.
Yeah.
Big old controversy.
Oh, man.
All right, you got the call or not?
Hang on a second. I'm trying. I'm doing my best.
I'm earning my pay today, filling in while you're pulling up these slow highlights.
It's not slow. I'm trying to find the right site here. Hang on.
Now we've got Astero Charles versus Jabba text hate crime back and forth on who said what. Let's just forget it. Let's just all agree it was at Notre Dame, the Bush push. Astero Charles was there. Jabba may or may not have been there. And we'll just let it go.
Astero Charles is upset with you, Craig. He said, Craig, read my text.
I can.
You're not reading my text.
I could read them all. His text started off at Notre Dame. He was wrong. Okay, I see you. I was there at Notre Dame. All right, I'll give you partial credit.
Partial credit. I'm sorry, I misunderstood you. I'll give you partial credit for being right.
All right, I can't wait anymore.
Well, hang on a second.
I can't. How about I take a commercial break and come back?
All right, do that.
I'll give you time to get your act together producing
over there. My
act
is fine. I'm trying to do my best here to correct it. Obviously, we have a controversy, and I can't stand it. I got it.
All right.
I will have it when we come back.
You will have it when we come back. We've got Wikipedia brought to you by Firehouse Subs coming up before the hour is up. All that more. Sheema to Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports, sports, and more sports. Because unlike the women in your life, sports will never leave you. Or point and laugh during lovemaking. Scheman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
I'm Craig Scheman along with Pete Shepherd. Rick Church in for Chris on the other side of the glass. Scheman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Thanks for tuning in on a Tuesday. Got Wikipedia coming up in a few minutes. We were doing a thing. Joe Winter had posted on our website at ESPNSWFL.com. If you could go back to any sporting event in the history of time and go back and watch it live, what would it be? Pete says Miracle on Ice. I said Chargers-Dolphins overtime 1982 in the Orange Bowl. And Rick Church would go back to Jack Morris's 10-inning game in the World Series for the Twins. Somebody just texted in here. What was that? I just lost another good one. Retired guy says he actually listened to Wilt's 100-point game on the radio back in New Jersey. He says it did happen. How about that? All right. Then the controversy happened about the location of the Bush Push game, USC and Notre Dame. Pete, did you finally find the
I got it. Here we go. This is, back in 2005. All right, 2005. Charlie Weiss versus Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Seconds. And SC with the ball going out of bounds.
31-28.
Pete Carroll saying just down it.
Down it, yep.
Pete Carroll sending it down the football.
No, they're just going to down this ball.
7 seconds left. 1 yard line.
Liner going to try to sneak it ahead.
He got in.
Touchdown, SC! For the time I broadcast that Boston College game against Miami a few years ago, but this is as good as it gets.
Okay.
Yeah, and there remember, was history. Going into that, game, October 15th, 2005, at the time, USC was 5-0, ranked number one. Notre Dame was 4-1, ranked ninth. The Trojans had won 27 straight games and had won the last three meetings with Notre Dame by an average of 31 points. Mm. So, yes, the Bush push, which he absolutely did. But
no Herbie Hancock. I'll go back and watch the Bears-Lions game. They came down to the wire. Wink, wink. No, no, we already did that today. Gator Nation says Gators' first national championship game against the Seminoles in 1996. Port Charlotte Joe, Aaron Boone, game-winning home run, Game 7 ALCS.
Newman the Mailman, 1999 MLB All-Star Game weekend, home run derby, Ted Williams, Pedro blowing away. And yes, and I happened to be at that one, which was it was an amazing night when everybody gathered around Ted Williams in the infield. That wasn't a dry eye in the house.
LeBron hater number one, I'd like to see the Michigan-Ohio State robbery game to see it for myself. No need. Michigan got robbed on that fourth down call.
That's debatable.
That was an extra link in the chain or something. I don't remember. Dopey, Michael Jordan versus Utah. Or how about against the Cleveland Cavaliers, Craig Elo, the shot over Elo.
Darryl Charles says refs dropped that in the dirt, stopped the clock for a backwards fumble, which it was. Spotted the ball in the one for a forwards fumble, which it wasn't. If they spot the ball in the three, no way Pete Carroll goes for it.
That was a gutsy call.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Joe Carter, yes. Philadelphia Phillies with the home run, yes, in 93.
Yeah.
Against the Blue Jays. Yep.
Canadian Candy, Babe Ruth calling a shot. That would be cool.
Yep.
Although there's some debate as to where they did call a shot or not.
Yes.
Let's see. Cougar Hunter, 1994 World Cup.
and with my dad at the Rose Bowl. That's what he would like to do.
Nice.
LSU Tom, I was in Death Valley on Halloween at the 5 missed field goal game from Auburn.
Oh, okay. I said, what's Death Valley?
Yeah.
But yeah.
239 says Jack Nicklaus at the 86 Masters.
That's a good one.
You know, that 239, he doesn't have a texter name. You're now the Bear.
The Bear, yes.
How about that? All right. He's probably going to love that texter name. The Bear.
The Bear.
Harry Carey, instead of time travel, I'd use the multiverse to go to a universe where Scott Norwood made the field goal in Super Bowl 25. Got a feel for Bills fans, Harry. Absolutely. Texter, it's legal, says to be at Wrigley Field when Sosa and McGuire were banging balls out left and right, electric. And it saved baseball. 305, any of the Game 7s in the Marlins World Series runs?
Yep. Against the Yankees in 2003 and 97, 98. Yeah, you could see that.
You're now Marlins Game 7. Got a texter name for you.
Yep.
It's not too often that an area code comes up and they don't have a texter name on, so when it does, I like to jump in there. Matty Ice, I was at the Dolphins game for the Miracle in Miami versus the Patriots. Oh, that was just a couple seasons ago.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see here. What else we got here?
What do you do if you got over, if you got there and found the babe didn't call the shot? There is footage of that. And I've.
Yeah, but it's unclear as to whether
he's. No, it's not clear. Yeah. It's not clear.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's. That yeah, that would ruin a story if it turns out he really didn't call it.
Yep. 0-2 Red Wings Avs, game seven. Yep. 7-0 final. Patrick Waugh got pulled from, yes, and the players are going nuts. Yeah, I remember that.
Bob texting in, Jets, Baltimore, Super Bowl. Speaking of calling your shot, Joe Namath.
Yeah, that'd be something I'd like to be at, too.
239, I'd like to go back to the golf event where Bob Barker and Happy Gilmore got into a fist fight. You're now Happy Gilmore. Hey, he needed a texter name, yep. Too. New texters. Happy Gilmore. We might already have one. I don't know. Let's see. Oh, Jersey Jeff correcting. Marlins 1-6 in 03. All right. Thank you for that. Field of Dreams from last year. Remember they did that last year? Somebody would like to go see that.
Mm-hmm.
Made a big deal about it. Ty Lou texting in. He'd like to go to that game where Ezekiel Elliott jumped into the Salvation Army bucket.
That was good.
He's only 20, so he doesn't have any other cowboy memories. That's why. They haven't won in his lifetime. Terpcast guy, I was at the Super Bowl with the Ravens, Niners, when the lights went out. Oh, yeah, Vols fan, the Thrilla in Manila. Some of those boxing mm-hmm. classics back in the day.
Yep.
And Roaring Buffalo doing his own show. We're not even talking about it. Who you got in the Celtics-Bucks matchup tonight?
That's tomorrow
That's
night.
That's tomorrow night, by
it's
the
tomorrow
way.
Tomorrow night, yeah, and yeah. I'll pick the Celtics. I like Miami tonight, and I like Phoenix tonight. Like them both.
Yeah. All right, very good. That was fun, going back in time with that. If I tell you what, we're going to play. We got Wikipedia coming up here. Here's what we're going to do today for Wikipedia. I think that this is pretty easy today. I hope it did not jinx us. But it would have been Pat Summerall's birthday. He was born in 1930, so that would have made him 92 today, if my math is right. Chris Berman's birthday, he was born in 1955. And with the news of Tom Brady signing a deal with Fox Sports to be their lead analyst, 10 years, $375 million. It just brings you to your knees just talking about it. I figure we do something a little sports casting related. So this will all be sports casting trivia. Most of it's football. I see one baseball question. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it mostly.
All right.
So what we need now is caller number 9. It's brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Get some subs for you and a friend.
All Firehouse locations here in Fort Myers. We need caller number 9. I think it's pretty easy, so jump on this. 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. It's Wikipedia, Scheman and Shepherd, ESPN, Southwest Florida.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia.
All right, in light of it being the late Pat Summerall's birthday, Chris Berman's birthday, and the fact that Tom Brady just signed a 10-year, $375 million deal to be an analyst for Fox Sports when he retires,
really,
I thought we'd do sportscaster trivia here. Quick text from Roaring Buffalo. Are those broadcast contracts all guaranteed, or is it similar to NFL contracts with some guaranteed and the rest through incentives? There are no incentives. It's guaranteed. It's a better contract than he's ever gotten in the NFL. Our contestant caller number 9 is Father of Bell. Father of Bell, how are you?
I am living the dream.
All right.
And how is Bell doing?
Bell has moved on to Snow White.
Oh, I can't remember how we gave you the name Father of Bell.
Because my daughter was crying one day because her dress had an issue, which caused my wife to start crying, and I was on my way home to work going to deal with that.
That's right. That's right. All right. Well, good. I'm glad we overcame. We're going to play Wikipedia. First two on to 3 correct answers is a winner, and you get to go first. Are you ready, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here we go. Actually, just told you this one. Fox just announced this Super Bowl champion will be an analyst when he retires. Who is it?
Tom Brady.
Good answer. 1-0.
You sure?
Yes. Pete Shepard.
Yes.
This announcer was once known to bite people and wears a toupee. Who is it?
Right now?
What do you mean right now?
Well, Howard Cosell wore a toupee, but it's not him.
Well, he didn't get accused of biting any women either. This guy
did. Marv Albert.
Marv Albert, yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
1-1. This is for Father of Bell. Marv's son has been a longtime NFL on Fox announcer and also a radio announcer for the New York Rangers. I actually think he's better at hockey. Yes. Who is it?
I can give you a last name. Does that count?
No.
Then I don't know.
Pete Shepard. Marv's son.
Yeah, he's got a couple of them.
Well, the one that does the Rangers and NFL on Fox. Yeah, he's only got one that does that. Kenny Albert.
Kenny, there's Al, there's Steve.
All right, Pete.
I believe, yeah.
How many years did Vin Scully call Dodger baseball?
Oh, God. I don't know. It's
the hardest question on here because it's a specific number.
61.
Ooh, close. Yeah. Close. Chance to steal. Father of Bell, how many years did Vin Scully call Dodger baseball?
Wasn't it close to 70?
Yeah, I need a number, though.
68.
67 is the correct answer. Nobody gets a point there. This one is for Father of Bell. This Super Bowl winning football coach became a Monday Night Football announcer before leaving that job to return to coaching. However, he is currently unemployed in both fields of work. Who was it?
Gruden. John.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. John Gruden. 2-1, yep. Father of Bell. Pete Shepard.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the upcoming 2-man booth for Thursday Night Football on Amazon?
Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit.
That is correct. We are tied at 2. Next correct answer is a winner. Father of Bell, this Hall of Famer is known as a coach, an analyst, and video gamer, and he just passed away this Christmas.
Who is John Madden?
That is correct. You win 3-2.
Good job.
A squeaker. All right, are you on your way home to the wife and kids right now?
I am.
All right. Is all quiet on the home front?
I don't know. It's been too quiet, so at least need to be suspect.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Tread carefully. Have a good evening, man. Thank you very much.
Y'all too. Thank you.
Alrighty. I appreciate it. All right. 2 more questions. Okay. I think they're easy for you. Can you tell me the new Monday Night Football crew?
Yeah, we just talked about it.
Yep.
Joe Buck and Troy Aikman.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. And final question. Ding. Oh, no ding? Oh. Okay.
Not ding worthy.
Sunday Night Football team. Who's the new Sunday Night Football team?
Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth.
There you go. Tony, that'd be easy.
Not bad.
One hard question on there.
Yeah.
Good to go.
All right.
We got a minute here, actually. We've never been early.
Oh, I'll give you a few little fun stat here.
Okay.
Excuse me, from the weekend.
All right.
ABC says coverage of Sunday's Formula One Miami Grand Prix averaged a record 2.6 million viewers. Makes it the biggest audience ever for a live F1 telecast on US TV. Audience peaked at 2.9 million as defending champion Max Verstappen won the race. How about that?
That's pretty good. Also peaked when Martin Brundle asked stupid questions during...
well, that was pre.
That was pre? Yeah, that was pre. How did the Derby do, by the way? I haven't seen a single stat on the Derby. Grizz texting in. Would love to hear y'all thoughts on the Kentucky Derby. I'm trying to go next year. We witness history. I think the horse was on something.
Well, nothing has come out. That is you.
Yeah. That's me, myself, and I. I have no sources. I've just never seen a horse cover that much ground.
Well, wait a minute. We did have female ref call in yesterday and say she studies the Derby pretty seriously.
Yeah.
Spent several hours researching these horses, and she said, there is no way this horse should have won this race. So there's a little bit of fuel.
Yeah. And then it was a little edgy after the race. Right.
An unnamed bettor in Minnesota has been confirmed as hitting the superfecta in Saturday's Kentucky Derby. The initial $1 bet on guessing the first four horses to finish in order, including Rich Strike, the longest shot, $1 won back $321,500. $1.
I'd be more suspicious of that than the horse.
Yeah, what would make that person do that?
Exactly.
Because it's a dollar. So
I know.
Even if you bring it, say you want to spend $100 and you do $100 bets.
Exactly.
You have the long shot in. Maybe half the time you have the long shot in, and the other half you don't, and you take your chances. Yeah. A lot of people do that. Just pull numbers out of a hat and just see what happens.
Absolutely,
have a better chance.
You do that 100 times though is a lot, and that's 400 pulls out of a hat. But
one of these days it's gonna be me. Like maybe tonight.
I gave it the Celtics. I'm on fire. In case you haven't been riding my wave of hot picks, absolutely on fire the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's off the chart. Another winner last night. Going to give you two tonight.
Got Heat -3, Suns -6 last time I checked.
Mm-hmm.
Have to mull that over. All right. Well, Purple Pirate says Twin Spires has already sent my check. I don't care what happens now. Did Purple Pirate win big? I can't remember.
Somebody won big.
Yeah, whatever. It must have been him.
I told you the story in 2008 when I was in Boston, and at the time I was working 7 days a week, but I had co-hosting a show on Saturday. It was 97 or 98. Well, anyway, real quiet. I liked real quiet. I pay attention to horses three times a year. Mm-hmm. But I liked what I saw at real quiet. Went off at 8-1. Mm-hmm. So I predicted it. I said real quiet to win. Ends up winning. I think I told you this before. Some guy bet a lot of money. I come into security on a Sunday to do the same show on Sunday.
Yeah.
And there's an envelope for me, addressed to me.
Yeah.
As I walk in, security guard hands me and is like, I open it up. I get up to the studio. I'm like, my partner, John.
Sorry.
That's okay. I thought it was me. And it was $500 in cash.
Guy tipped you.
Yeah. He's like, thanks. Thanks, Pete, for the... blah, blah, blah. Most handicappers will tell you, if you can get one winner right in a Kentucky Derby every 10 to 12 years, you're doing really well.
Right.
Yeah. The winner, not win placers, but just the winner.
Yeah.
So,
hard
but
to
that
do.
Was that was something. And it was anonymous that the money can was like, okay.
That's cool. He gave you a tip.
Yeah. Took my partner out to nice dinner and drinks and a blast.
So if he were to listen to what you got at the end of the show where we give picks every night, if any of y'all wanted to tip, if you get one right and you make money, we would gladly accept.
I'm seriously like 13-2 in my last 15 on the show.
It's pretty red hot.
Yeah.
Gotta tell you.
I got two tonight. I actually think about giving out four tonight. That's how confident I am. Two hockey and two basketball, but
okay.
I'll probably just stick with two.
All right.
No sense going crazy.
No. All right. Well, we got the 5 o'clock hour coming up on a Tuesday, and we will get after it. And then at the end of the show, another chance to win $500 with the Scheman Shepherd cash grab. All that more coming up. Scheman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.